All right, so we turn now in our Old Testament reading to 2 Kings chapter 5. Verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance into Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray thee, you and see how he, I pray you and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, as the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing, the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master hath spared Naaman this Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" And he said, "All is well. My master hath sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments." And Naaman said, "Be content, take two talents." And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, "Whence comest thou, Gehazi?" And he said, "Thy servant went nowhither." And he said unto him, "Went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and oliveyards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever." And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. The entire chapter is devoted to the malady and cure of Naaman the Syrian. There are several wonderful lessons in this chapter. It's a chapter that maybe I would someday like to do 3 or 4 or 5 sermons on, because there are so many wonderful principles here to learn. But let's go ahead and talk about the first part of it. We have this little maid. They had gone out by companies and they'd taken a captive out of the land of Israel, this little maid, a little young lady. And she waited on Naaman's wife. She became a servant to Naaman's wife. Naaman, obviously captain of the guard, a great man, lots of riches and wealth and servants in his house. And so he went out, and in one of their raids, they brought home a young lady to serve his wife. And so she was taken captive and was now a servant in the house. Did you notice in her that there's no resentment at all for that? She's not resenting. She doesn't see them as an enemy. She's living in the house, being provided for by them. And her heart is perhaps turned, I don't think in Stockholm syndrome fashion. I think that her heart has been rightly turned in affection to those who are caring for her, and she's serving them. Let us remember in that circumstances that are sometimes called evil or cursed aren't necessarily so. That there is a contentment that belongs to us even in such positions as that. And she speaks kindly to her mistress and says to her, "You know, I wish that we lived in Israel, because there's a prophet there and he could cure my lord. He could cure my master of this malady of his. He would no longer have to deal with his leprosy." Well, word gets back to Naaman, and so away he goes into Israel. But the first thing that takes place is there's a letter that is sent. And the letter is sent from the king of Syria to the king of Israel. "I've got this man. His name is Naaman. I'm going to send him to you so you can cure him of his leprosy." The king of Israel reads that, and of course, commensurate with the attitudes of the kings of Israel, a complete unbeliever, the first thing he does is, "This means doom," rips his clothes. Those guys were always living under a shadow of doom, weren't they? They had an evil and guilty conscience because of their turning away from the true religion to the religion of Jeroboam or Ahab, right? Whether one or the other. And so Elisha hears of this. Notice that Elisha is a prophet of Jehovah, but the Lord has not taken him out of Israel. The Lord has left him in Israel to minister and to make the Lord's word known even in that dark land. This is important divinity, isn't it? It's not, "Oh, Elisha, you can dust your feet off with regard to those dirty Israelites, those Baal-worshipping Israelites." No, God had made promises to Abraham and his seed, and they are his seed. And the Lord is going to continue to labor and to minister with them. And so Elisha is there for that reason. And so Elisha heard this and he said, send him to me and I'll take care of him. No problem. Well, it says that Naaman came in his pride. He came with his horses and with his chariots and with his servants, you know, the others that were on those horses and so on. He came with an entourage to the house of Elisha. And he's thinking, I'm a great man. I've got a lot of stuff. I've got a lot of authority. I'm well recognized. Certainly he'll come out to me and we'll look eye to eye. We'll lock eyes and man to man and important person to important person. He'll cure me. Instead, Elisha sends a servant out and says, if you want to be cured, go wash 7 times in the River Jordan. And then he goes, and then, see ya. You know what to do. And he goes. Well, Naaman, it says that he received that news, quote, in a rage. In a rage. I thought he'd come out. He'd acknowledge my person. He'd look over me. He'd call upon the name of his God. He'd do some ceremony and cure the leper. And then he refers to himself in the leper. In other words, they're treating me like I'm a leper here. Yeah, they are. In other words, even in the midst of his leprosy, he doesn't have any humility. You see the irony there. And so he's put in a rage. Beloved, are we put in a rage when things don't go our way? Is that our first salvo? Is that our first response? Is it anger? I didn't get my way? Anger? Well, that's the sign of Naaman in his leprous self. Right? Okay, so, and then he starts talking about home. And he says, these rivers of Israel, come on. We have better rivers at home. Pharpar is a better river. Abana is a better river. If I'm going to wash, I can wash there. It's just a simple washing. I'm out of here. I'm going home. This is a waste of time, is the impression that we get. And then one of his servants comes alongside him. Notice, again, a servant that brings him to his right mind and says to him what? Well, if he had asked you to climb a mountain or some other great thing, wouldn't you have done that? I mean, we're talking about leprosy here. All you have to do is go wash 7 times in Jordan. Well, I guess you're right. It can't hurt. And so away he goes to the River Jordan. Now, commentators and translators get this all wrong here. It doesn't say that he dipped himself. You know, that's not what's being said. He took maybe his helmet, maybe a cup, whatever it is, he dipped in the Jordan 7 times. And he poured it over himself. And when he did that, what? His skin was like a little child's. Immediate and instantaneous healing. Well, Naaman's own profession at this point changes. Right? Before he was talking up the rivers of Syria. Now he says there's a God in Israel. Well, that's the difference, isn't it? So he returned to the man of God and all his company. Behold, now I know that there is a God in all the earth, no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, and this is interesting, I think that here, although it is not quite clear in the text, I think here he's talking to Elisha. Elisha, when he came back, would have known that he was no longer a leper and came out to meet him. And so then there is this concourse between them. I will receive none, he said. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And so we learn another principle, right? This is the what we call the Pauline principle of making ministry free of charge. The laborer is worthy of his hire, without a doubt. But you can also make the ministry free of charge. Both are true. He takes nothing, and sometimes, as in the case of Naaman, there is an advantage to taking nothing. Right? Naaman won't then, having been ensconced in his own self-righteousness, will not be induced to go on in that. Well, I paid him pretty well for that service. Elisha's best wisdom, his spiritual wisdom, told him not to take a dime from him, not to take anything from him. And so he didn't. And so Naaman then asks for something. Well, then I need something from you, he says. I need 2 loads of Israel soil. Isn't that what he says? 2 mules burden of earth. Well, what's that for? Well, listen to what he says. For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but to Jehovah. The divine name is used there. In other words, he needs 2 mules worth of earth so he can go back and build himself an earthen altar at his home. He desires no more sacrifice to any other gods but Jehovah. And so as immature and childlike with regard to his faith as we see this, not knowing the rules of Israel, we can also see that there is grace in it. And then there's one more thing that he asks. You know, my job is to accompany my king wherever he goes, because I'm his bodyguard. I'm the captain of the guard and his bodyguard. So he goes into the house of Rimmon to worship his god, and he leans on me when he does so. You know, he's unsteady. And so when he does so, when I bow my knee in the house of Rimmon, I'm not worshiping. I'm only there supporting my master, doing my job. The Lord look upon that and forgive his servant. And notice what Elisha says here. What does he say? I'm sorry, that's an innovation. No, nothing like that. What does he say? He said unto him, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. Beloved, the scriptures represent our Lord Jesus Christ, who we saw in the last reading as the one that we saw by looking through Elijah. We see the same thing here in that our Lord Jesus Christ is spoken of by the prophet Isaiah as what? He will not lift up his voice in the streets. He will not quench the smoking flax. He will not break the bruised reed. I believe that there are times when we begin to think about the Lord Christ as an exacting master. This is his grace and mercy to one who is just converted and who has many superstitions and who needs to be brought along the way rather than cut off at the knees. And so Elisha tells him, go in peace. And so he departed from him a little way. Well, I think that's a fascinating passage. And it gets even more interesting as we go on. Now we have Gehazi's true colors shown. It seems that Gehazi, a servant of Elisha, could only contain himself for so long. And so now his true colors come out. And so he followed after Naaman, saying, I will take somewhat of him. You got off easy, Naaman. It's right that you should give up something for the healing that you've received. And you can think of all of the other justifications that would come up in Gehazi's mind. Right? It's not right that he goes away without giving. This will be good for his soul. This will be help. You know, you can go on and on. But he defies his master, Elisha. And he knows he's doing wrong because he lies about it when he returns. And so he says, well, he lies on the way out and he lies on the way back. First, he says, my master hath sent me. Nope, you were not sent. You, as Jeremiah will call it, ran without being sent. And so he'll take a talent of silver and 2 changes of garments. Of course, Naaman shows his honor and his affability and his generosity by saying, no, for each one of those sons of the prophets that has recently come, take 2 talents of silver and 2 changes of raiment. Not 1, but 2. And so we see nothing but positives from Naaman here. And so then when he comes to the tower, the word for tower in the Hebrew is a secret place, like the bottom of Achan's tent kind of thing. He hides the 2 talents of silver and the changes of raiment. And then it says, and you know, the Hebrew is nondescript here. The conjunction in Hebrew, it can be translated as but, and, then, and so on. The King James translators say, but he went in and stood before his master. I think that's interesting, right? They're interpreting a little bit there, you know. But he went in, stood before his master. In other words, he's about to get caught. That's what they're saying. Where the Hebrew would support a translation of then he went in or and he went in, the translators say, but he went in. And Elisha said to him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? Thy servant went nowhither, which is the King James Version way of saying, I didn't go anywhere. And so then the Lord has revealed, obviously, to Elisha what had happened. Did not my heart go with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? And then note what he says here. This is the species of covetousness with regard to the ministry that knows no bounds. Listen to what he says. Is it a time to receive money? That would be the silver. Garments? That's what he did receive. Now look, and oliveyards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servant and maid servants. Gehazi, once we go down this road ecclesiastically, there's no stopping us. It'll never stay with a couple of changes of clothes and a couple of talents of silver. It'll end up, we'll be trading, as the book of Revelation gives it at the end of a list very similar to this, and the souls of men. We'll be trading in souls before you know it. That is a hard word. So then the leprosy of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence as a leper, white as snow. Gehazi was that day separated out from the worship of God, never able to approach God by way of sacrifice or offering again. We will see that he continues. He's mentioned a couple of times later on in 2 Kings. But we assume that all that mention is through the lens of his leprosy at that point. So you can see these principles that are, can I say it this way, eminently preachable out of this passage. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. Let's stand and continue praising God in the singing.